Amen. Well, it's good to see everybody out tonight to the homebrew meeting here the 28th of August. We just thank the Lord for everybody that's coming out. And those who could not make it, the bad weather, we understand all of that. Just a brief word to all of the folks that are listening to the homebrew meeting online around the world. I just really appreciate your comments and really appreciate all of the it's all the wonderful things you say about it, and yes, I will keep it up. And one other comment real fast, I just want to thank everybody that remembered Mike Aluthemi, our operations director of the clinic in Abilene, Nigeria, our maternity clinic there, for remembering him in prayer. Last time I talked to Mike was a couple days ago. He's doing well, he's got his strength back, and he's ready to get back in the fight. And I'll tell you, Mike is definitely one of the three most humblest men I've ever met in my life. And I really love Mike a lot, and just thank you for his prayers. Amen. Well, let's go ahead and continue to look at prayer. The last couple of home group meetings, we looked at parts one and two, and this will be part three of nine parts. So this is a nine-part series on prayer, and this will be three. Let's go ahead and just kind of look back a little bit of what we looked back in part two. And there are three points that are very important that will kind of catapult us and into what we would like to talk about tonight. And that first point is prayer is direct communication is God. Prayer is direct communication with God. We saw that prayer is translated six different ways in the Bible, and most number one way is translated is direct communication with God. When we are praying, we are having direct communication. And out of that communication, we have communion with God. If we're not having communion with God, we're not praying. Let me say that again. If we're not having communion with God, then we're not praying. We're over in the gimmies, and we'll probably talk about that a little later. And the second point I kind of segued into is out of our communication, we have communion. We cannot just go to God in communion. There must be a communication that happens before we get there. And, of course, the communication will lead us into that heartfelt communication that God wants us to have. And out from our communication, we have this communion with God. And if we cut that, communication, then, of course, that will stop the communion that we have with God, and then we will start to cultivate desires not of God. I mean, that's a mouthful, and that's critical. If we stop this communication with God, then that will stop the communion with God. And if we stop the communion with God, then we will begin to cultivate desires and hungers and thirst for things that are not of God. I mean, that is what happens, you know. We start reading the Bible, we start praying, and then all of a sudden we find ourselves getting over into other areas that we would have never thought. I would never thought I would have done that. That is amazing. I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I did that. Well, what you have to do is you have to go back to the source and find out, you know, what is your level of prayer? What is your level of devotion and commitment to God? That is the reason why we do things that we say we would never believe we would have done that. And the last point is the purpose of prayer is for us to know God without asking. Wow. The purpose of prayer is to know God without having to ask Him all of these things. God wants us to know His wisdom. He wants us to know His words. He wants us to know His works. And God wants us to know His ways. And that's the purpose of prayer. We come to know God, His wisdom, His words, His works, and all of His ways through that prayer, through that pathway to the heart of the Father. And we come to know Him, as we saw last week, without asking. Now that is real communication. That is really communion with God. When you come into a relationship with God in communion, that you know what He wants, It's just automatic, like breathing. You come into that relationship with Him, and you know what He wants, and you don't have to ask Him to tell you what He wants. You just know by the Spirit. Wow, boy, that's where God wants to bring us, into that place. John 17:3 said, now this is eternal life. So many people today think eternal life is when we all get to heaven. We sing that song, when we all get to heaven. What a day that's going to be. Well, God don't want us to have to wait to get to heaven to have a wonderful day. God wants us to have a wonderful day now. John 17:3 said, now this is eternal life, that you all shall know God. The more we know God, the more of this eternal life we're going to have. And it's so wonderful to know that we don't have to wait to get to heaven and the sweet by and by and all of those songs that we sing. You've got to be careful with songs. Songs are really good and really fast to lead you out of God. But God wants us to have this eternal life now, present time, knowing Him. Amen. We always seem to want to understand everything. So when we find something we do not understand, we push for an understanding. And oftentimes we come up with an understanding, but it will sometimes be a misunderstanding. Man is kind of funny about that we always want to understand and we always want to know things. Well, as we see in the book of Genesis, Eve wanting to know things got man into a lot of trouble. And that's just the way we are made. We want to know something. And if we don't understand that and we don't know it, then we're always going to push for it. We're going to push and we're going to push and we're going to knock and we're going to seek and all of these things. And you know what we come up with an understanding. We come up with the knowing. It may not be the right knowing and it may not be the right understanding, but we will have that. That's what Jesus was telling in Matthew. And there's so many people say we're supposed to keep knocking and seeking, and stuff like that. Actually, what Jesus was talking about here in Matthew, he was saying, be careful. If you look at that in the Greek, he was saying, be careful. Be careful with your knocking. Be careful with the seeking. Because if you knock on a door is going to open up. But that may not be the door that God wants you to open up. If you seek and you keep seeking and seeking, you're going to find. And you may not find what the Lord wants you to find. You may find something else. We as Christians, as children of God, we just need to come into this place of prayer. We need not to know everything, even in prayer. We don't. We do not need to know everything in prayer. We need to come to a place of rest, where we need to know God who gives us understanding. So the function is not to know everything in prayer, but is we need to rest. We need to know God who gives the understanding. The more that we know God, the more God will give us understanding. And He will give us the things that we need to know. We don't need to know everything, but the more we know Him, the more we come to love Him and commit ourselves to Him and be dedicated to Him, the more we have that communion with Him, the more of the understanding of God we will have. Our understanding comes from God, not for figuring things out. No, it doesn't. He gives us understanding in His ways, in His works, in His words. And we need to be content to hold with a good and pure conscience the mystery of godliness, that we be willing to hold correctly a mystery, sometimes that things we do not know, and hold it in our heart, and be content not to understand it, and move forward along this pathway back to the heart of God. God gives us His understanding not so that we can figure things out. Okay, so God gives us a word, and so now we have this word, now we can figure that out. No. That's not why God gives us that. God gives us that understanding to help us know Him the more. To know Him the more. And the more we know Him, then the more we can not figure things out, but we can move correctly. In His wisdom, we can move correctly in His words, in His works, in His ways. We do not need to know everything. Let me say that again tonight. We do not need to know everything. But what we need to know is the One who knows all things. We do not need to know everything, but we need to know the one that knows all things. Now that, my brothers and sisters, is faith. That's faith. We don't need to know everything. We don't need, what's going to happen tomorrow or any of that stuff. All we need to know is God, and that is enough. We need to know that God will take care of us and so forth. That is faith, walking by faith. We really do not know much if you really think about it. We often think we know, and that is why we pray so much. But the Spirit knows, and the Spirit who knows all will help us on those things that we do not know. Man is a pretty proud animal, and he thinks he knows everything. But when it's all said and done, we really don't know that much. And what we do know of the Spirit especially is those things that God has revealed to us. And the things that we do not know when we pray in the Spirit, Romans tells us that the Spirit will pray through us and will give us understanding. That's why the Spirit of God is so, so important in our life, that we have the Spirit moving in us, because even in those areas that we do not know, the Spirit will know. And then the Spirit will give us understanding, and then we will know how to move correctly in God's wisdom and His words and His ways. I think a lot of Christians really get in trouble because they kind of get out there and they want to know all this, and they want to start doing all of these things. Now, in the physical realm, that's, you can probably do things and not get into too much trouble. But I promise you, when you get over into the spiritual realm, and you're over there, which is more real than the physical realm, when you get into the spiritual realm and you start doing things without the understanding, that's when you really get in trouble and you can really complicate some things in your lives. We do not need to know everything, but we know God, and we know everything. As long as we know God, then we know everything that we need to know, and that is God. Us knowing only what God wants us to know is God's objective in our prayer. Let me say that again. Us knowing only what God wants us to know is God's objective. I should say one of God's objectives in our prayer. In prayer. Proper communication brings us to the whom rather than to the what. And the whom, which is God, then can bring us to the what He wants in any given situation in our life. So if we know God, the whom, then God can bring us to the what He wants us to do in any given situation. Then, and only then, can we harmonize with the will of God in our requests, in our asking. Wow. Then and only then can we harmonize with the will of God, even in our requests and even in our asking. And then we will be able to flow with the will of God. How can we ask amiss if we know what God wants in any situation? The Bible tells us, oh, you pray amiss, Well, many Christians pray for themselves. They pray for cars, all these earthly things, stuff like that. We're not supposed to spend a lot of our prayer time on ourselves or praying for a lot of things. We are to spend a lot of our prayer time praying for others. Others getting blessed. Others receiving the things that they need to in God. And then when God sees that coming out of us, then He will be more than willing to reach down and touch us in areas that we need to touch. How can we pray amiss? It's impossible to pray wrong or amiss if we know what God wants in any given situation. How can you pray and not be the will of God when you know what the will of God is, because God tells you what that is? He gives you that understanding. It would be impossible to pray amiss. You would always pray according to the will of God. And that comes out of that communication that you have with the Lord, and then that moves into that communion. And as we have that communion with the Lord, will be impossible for us to pray amiss. We will always, always pray according to the will of God. Even in those times that we don't know what to pray, the Spirit of God will pray through us. For us to flow in the will of God in prayer, we must lay down our ways and take on His ways and His will. We have a will. And we have ways that are part of our nature, and we must lay that down. Even Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane had a will, I believe, that was contrary to the Father. Jesus prayed, "Not my will." He didn't say, "Not the Son of God's will," or Christ's will, but he said, "My will, not my will, but thine be done." That is the model for us. We also need to lay down our will and our ways so that we can take up God's will and His ways. We can never, ever put on what God wants in our life, His will and His ways for our life, even in through prayer, unless we first take off our will and our ways. We must lay aside our thoughts and take on His thoughts. How can we pray amiss if we have God's thoughts? Well, we often pray amiss because we are not praying with the mind of Christ. We have not put on the mind of Christ. And so we get over in these gimme, gimme, gimme prayers, and we're praying amiss. We're not praying according to God's will because we have not put on the mind of Christ. For us to lay aside our thoughts, we must have our mind renewed by the Spirit of God. Of course, Romans 12:2 talks about that. It talks about renewing our minds. But how is our mind renewed? I have never heard, I've heard so many sermons on Romans 12:2, and they always just kind of gloss over having our minds renewed by the Spirit of God and so forth and so on, but they never really talk about that process. You know, how does that happen? Well, I'm here to tell you that God does not have a magic wand that reaches out there and bonks you in the head, and all of a sudden you have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ when we go ahead and we take off our will, when we take off our spirit, when we take off our ways, then we can put God's ways on and God's wills. And that process, how that happened, believe it or not, is through displacement. It is through displacement. As we displace our will and our ways out of our life, then God's wills and God's ways can come in. In a way, I look at that, being an old sailor here, it's like displacement of a battleship. A battleship sitting in a bunch of water, maybe 20 or 30 feet down to the waterline. You know, and then it takes on more weight, and what it does, it pushes down and pushes out that water. As the ship gets heavier, it pushes down that ship, and the water skirts out, and it replaces that space where the water was with more of that battleship. And that's what happens in our life. We go ahead and we allow the Spirit to work in our life, and we decide that, yes, we will. We allow God to work our ways and our will out of Him, or out of us, through His dealings and His judgments in our life. And then we begin to displace what we want with His thoughts and with His mind. It's a wonderful process. And it's a process that must happen in our life. Our mind is renewed as things in our life is displaced with things that God wants to bring into our life. So prayer puts us in touch with God, not with what we think, but in reality. As we are willing to commune with Him, it brings us closer and closer until our life is in touch with God's life. Let me share that again, because that is tonight is just powerful. You know, I hear so many people, "Why are not my prayers effective?" And praying, I can't pray and pray and this and well, tonight, if you get a hold of what I'm talking about tonight, you will understand how prayer works. So prayer puts us in touch with God, not with what we think. That's critical, not with what we think. But in reality, as we are willing to commune with Him, it brings us closer and closer until our life is in touch with God. The closer and the closer we get, wow, the more we'll have to lay off things and lay our side down, the more we'll have to be displaced out of our life and replaced with the things of God. But the more that happens, the closer and closer we get with God. Prayer is not theoretical. It's not. It's not a mental assent. It's not a repeating of words. Jesus said, don't pray as the Sadducees and the Pharisees, repeating the same words. Prayer is not repeating the 23rd prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, that's not prayer. All right, everybody take a knee and we'll go ahead and say the 23rd Psalm. That's not prayer. Prayer is a reality. It is a focus. It is ending in touching the heart of God. If you are not touching the heart of God in your prayer, then you're not having communion. Prayer is a reality, and it is a focus. And this communion then will move us away from our gimmies. Oh Lord, give me this, and oh Lord, give me a new car, and oh Lord, give me the biggest ministry in the world, and Lord, give us the biggest church and the best parking lot, and oh Lord, give us this and give us that. Wow. The gimmies, what most people call prayer. Lord, heal me, Lord, heal this, and Lord, do this, and Lord, do, give me, give me, give me, give me. And we are then able to speak to God on others' behalf. This communion then will move us away from the gimmies, what people most often, prayer. And the more we can move away from the gimmies, then we are able to speak to God on others' behalf. I really believe that is one of the chief focuses is prayer for us, is not really to pray for ourselves. It was maybe 3 or 4 years ago. I decided, wait a minute, I'm going to stop praying for myself so much. Now I have more time to pray for my wonderful wife, Karen, and my kids and family, and pray for, for Mike and Dr. Johnson in India, and Pastor Tech in Nepal. And, I can spend more time, I can speak to the Father. Not about myself, but about other people. And I really believe that's what God wants us to do in prayer. It's not about ourselves, and it's not about what we want, but it's about what He wants, and us wanting to see Him move in other lives. We can then speak to God about those who are even giving us a hard time. Well, how do people that are giving us a hard time change? Well, it's going to have to happen through prayer. If someone is giving you a hard time, and you don't want to go over there and beat them up, then you're going to have to go to the Father on their behalf and ask Him to kind of intervene in the situation and kind of bring peace or whatever. But when we're able to speak to God about these situations, then we can go ahead and go to Him about people that are giving us a hard time. And we all have them. We are to be concerned about these folks who are not in touch with God, and we are also to talk to God about them. All of our relatives that are not Christians, all the people you see on TV, Lord have mercy. I mean, this is going to sound kind of funny, but sin offends me. Sin offends me. When I see, when I just see the stuff going on in the world, it just kind of offends me. Because I know, God just goes, what are you doing? I sent my son to die for you. And when I see these people, with tattoos on their face and piercings and all of this stuff, it offends me. But that's okay, because God needs to work in our hearts so that we can go to Him in prayer and pray for those people that do not know Him. That, praying for others, as I said, is one of the chiefest, objectives God wants to bring into our heart. Praying for others. Unless God can get our attention here, we will never be able to speak on the behalf of others. Unless God can get our attention, then we'll never, ever be able to speak on the behalf of others. What else would we want to do? Well, I believe this is the heart of God. We are not here to get or to receive, but we are here on this earth to give. We are not here to get and receive, and, the person with the most toys when they die wins. Not true. I think in God, the person who has given away the most will win in that situation. That giving and receiving and all that good stuff That's a carnal perspective. It's a man's perspective. But I think in God, the more who gives away, in God's eyes, he's the winner. When the Lord gives to us, he's giving to us so that it, whatever he gives to you, may flow out of you. After that, he can give you more. Whatever God gives to us, God never gives us things dead-ended. God never gives things to us, you know, so that we can keep them unto ourselves. If God gives you $10, he expects you to give a portion of that away. Now, it may be a tenth. You may have to give $1 away. Or he may want you to give $5 away. Or he may want you to give all of that away. Whatever God gives you, he doesn't give it to you dead-ended. And he expects it to flow out of you. That's a part of God's investment in us. God invests things in us, and then he expects us to invest those things that he gives us in other people. And then prayer is the same way. God invests in us, and in prayer, as we come to this communion with him, then now we can invest that prayer, praying for others, for people who can't speak to, you know, God for themselves. What God puts in us should start to flow, and then we are able to invest that, as I said, into the lives of others. And if we can invest in their lives, in the lives of others, then that will bring a return that the Lord is looking for. In the earth, God is looking for a harvest. He's looking for a return. In our lives, God is looking for a return. He invests things in us, his spiritual goods. He invests them into our life, and God is looking for a return. And he's watching to see what that return is. God gives to us so that we might be able to give to others. Not giving to get, as the nominal apostate church says, just turn on TBN and all those other Christian shows, plant your seed, brother, in my ministry, it's good ministry, and, you know, in 10 minutes, you know, I'm going to start praying for you, and if you give me $1,000, you know, Lord have mercy. That offends me also, and I know that offends God. But that's not the giving that God is talking about. Not giving to get. That's not what God wants. We are to give so that others may be able to receive. Yes, we tithe to a church. Yes, we give offerings. And we give that not so that the church gets bigger or whatever. But we give that so that others may be able to receive. So prayer brings us into all of these things that I just talked about. Things probably even more than our understanding is able to comprehend. I don't know about you, but I do not know how prayer works. Prayer is a mystery. It's beyond our understanding. You know, how we could pray for someone here, you know, how I could pray for someone in my house and someone in Africa could be touched or Asia or whatever. It's a mystery. We just got to hold that mystery. We don't need to understand how prayer works. We don't need to understand that. All we need to know is God knows how it works. He makes it happen. And the more I know of God, you know, the more good things happen. The last and most important purpose of prayer is to bring us into the glory of God. The last thing that I will talk about tonight, and it's a very, very important topic, is the last thing, the last and most important purpose of prayer is to bring us into the glory of God. Prayer brings us into an intensity and a purity that leads us into his glory. Prayer brings us into an intensity and a purity that leads us to his glory. And his glory leads us to adjustment and correction, not to feel good. You know, how many Christians I talk to, oh God, come and fill me now. Lord, come and thrill me. I want to tingle. I want to be touched. I want to be blessed. I want to be slain in the Spirit. I want all of these things. God, bring your glory. Come and do that. God doesn't want to do all that stuff. God's glory, when it really falls on us, will drive us to our knees. When the glory of God really comes, you know, we're not going to stand there and shake our fist and, you know, and rock our head back and forth like some bobblehead. If you look at the Bible, when the glory of God really falls on people, they just fall to their knees. and they're on their face. They're not standing around in some arrogant pose, you know, praise God. That's a bunch of baloney. Because His glory always leads us to adjustment and correction. Let me say that again. The glory of God always leads us to adjustment and correction. If you see that on the Mount of Transfiguration, as they call it, and that's not a term on the Bible, but Peter, James, and John was there. Peter said, "Let us build a temple, an altar, and we're worship." And Jesus corrected him. No, that's not, you know. And the glory of God is not about building temples and all that good stuff. When Moses came down from the mountain, after being up there 80 days, he had to wear a veil because the glory of God was so bright on his face that he put this veil on because the people were offended because of the glory of God was convicting them of their sin. They said, "Oh, Moses, put a veil upon your face, because the glory of God is offending us." Wow. The book of Acts, when Stephen was stoned, the Bible says that the glory of God, the heavens opened up, and the glory of God was on Stephen's, it was on Stephen's face. And we see then the people that stoned him. Wow. Can you imagine their heart condition there? The glory of God there brought them into a place of correction, even though Stephen was stoned, but it brought them into a place of them seeing themselves, you know, wow. Without God's glory in our lives, there will never be any adjustment and correction. Let me say that again. Without God's glory in our lives, there will never, ever, ever be any adjustment and correction. Again, God's glory is not to manifest miracles and stuff like that. And they happen because it's God's glory. But God's purpose in His glory in our life is to bring us to adjustments and to correction. Change us. And His focus of change is our character. God's is always after our character. He's not after our money. He's not after all of these other things and big ministries and all that good stuff. God is always wants to change us. And what He always wants to change is our character. Bring us into a place to where we begin to look like His dear Son, precious Son, Jesus Christ. He's always trying to conform us into the character and the nature of His Son, Jesus Christ. And God's glory always brings us to a place of adjustment, correction, so that He's able to change our character. The intensity of God's glory will come on those who are willing to pay the price and be willing to be adjusted and corrected. Like Stephen, he was willing to pray, pay the price. He paid with his life. But the glory of God fell on him. And he said, "I see the Son of God standing at the right hand of the Father," which is an amazing thought because the Bible elsewhere says that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. Oh, today that we would have Jesus rise to His feet when we come home to heaven. Wow. The intensity of God's glory will come on those that are willing to pay the price and willing to be adjusted and corrected. God is after correction. There will these those that are loose and there will be those that are loose and shaken out of the way, and they will fall by the wayside if they cannot be corrected. And God will take those who can be corrected, and they will be His elect. There's all kind of Christians out there. Many Christians out there that are after God's glory and after this and after that. And they will go through a shaking, and they will even be shaken loose from God, and they will fall away. I mean, the Bible tells us that. But there's going to be a group, an elect group, that will go through that shaking, and they will endure the correction and the dealings and judgments of God, and they will adjust to what God wants in their life, and they will be that chosen, the elect. Prayer is one way that God brings adjustment and correction into our life. Thank God for that, because without that, then we all would be lost and undone. You know, we would all be, there would be no spiritual growth and maturity in our lives. And prayer is one of those means that God uses in our life to bring adjustment and correction. No adjustment and correction, guess what? No glory. No adjustment and correction in our life, there's no glory. And God's glory does not come by singing and dancing and working, but by our change. God's glory comes in our life, not by all the things that we can do for Him, but us willing to endure, paying that price, enduring the adjustment and corrections that God brings in our life, and in that change, we will see the glory of God. We need to hold this desire to commune with God in our heart. It should be one of the most precious focuses in our life. It should not be ministry. It should not be ministry. It should not even be our family. It shouldn't be our work. It shouldn't be anything, any of those things. The most important desire in our life should be a desire to commune with God, to communicate with Him and then commune with Him. Without knowing God and being conformed into His Son, the image of His Son, Jesus Christ, we need to ask Him for this desire, this hunger, will bring us into that communion with Him. The hungrier we are for the things of God, the more He'll be able to bring us into this communion. I see so many Christians, and even myself at times, I seem to get wary, or I seem to just kind of just, you know, okay, enough, and, you know, I just kind of seem to fall away a little bit, you know. And that should never be in our life. That should never, ever be in our life. Our number one desire in our life should be want to know God and have this communication with Him, and then, which will lead to our communion. Our hungers drive us. Our thirsts drive us. Whatever we hunger and thirst after, that's what we will become. Whatever you want, whatever is driving you, and that is a choice that you have made. And that's what your life will be. Our hungers and drives and all of those things. Our hungers drive us to the things in our life that we think are important. Our hungers and our thirsts, they drive us to those things in our lives that we think are very important in our life. Do we think God is more important than our job or our ministry or our new car or our health or whatever that is? That's the question we have to answer tonight. Where we are not concerned what we get, but to walk hand in hand with Him, to harmonize with His character and His intentions, and to walk the way He desires for us to go. Not to worry where He is leading us. Not to worry where He's leading us. Because He's leading us only to one place, and that place is Calvary. Wanting from God will get us into trouble. Wanting from God will get us into a lot of trouble. Selfishness, arrogant thinking that we know better. That is the heart of wanting to get things from God. As I drive up Highway 17, I see a church signboard that says, "Come expecting to get something from God." Well, that is so wrong. We shouldn't come to church expecting to get something from God. We should come to church expecting to bless somebody. That should be our focus in coming to church, not from getting something from God, feeling His presence, you know. Our focus from coming to church was coming to bless somebody, to be a blessing to somebody. A kind word, a thought, or whatever we can do. As I said, God is taking us. He takes us by the hand and He leads us to our destiny. I hear some people say, "Oh, our destiny in God is this and our destiny in God is that." Well, we only have one destiny in God, and that is to die. To die on the cross. Not Jesus' cross, He died on His. But we are to die on our own cross. And our own cross is made up of a battle of will. And that's our will against God's will. Are we willing to lay our life down so that God can live? That is our destiny in God. And the more we can lay our life down for God, the more God will be able to live through us. Our destiny in God is a battle of wills. And we decide, not God, we decide whose will wins. Will it be God's or will it be ours? Prayer is a mode, is a mean that God uses in our life to break our will. To break our will. The more that we come to know God, the more we communicate with God, the more we can have that communion with God, the more God is able to break our will. So if there's no prayer, there's no communication, there's no communion, then our will will be very, very, very strong. I was preaching in a church maybe 3 weeks ago, and I made a statement. I said, "This is not your church. This is not your church." And Karen was standing there, and the lady behind her said, "Yes, this is my church." Well, it's not your church. It's God's church. Jesus says, "I will build my church." It's not my church. It's not anybody's church. It's God's church. But that person who said that has lost that battle of will. I'm sorry, they've won that battle of will, their will, and unfortunately God has lost that will because they want their will to override what God wants in His will. Sad, sad, but that's not strange today for the body of Christ. Good Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, Lord, we thank you and we praise you for another teaching, Father, Lord, prayer. Lord, prayer is so mysterious and it's so wonderful. And Lord, we just thank you and we praise you, Father, Lord God, for just the opportunity to come and just share this third teaching on prayer, Father, Lord God. Lord, just bless everybody that came out tonight. Lord, just bless us as this goes out over the internet and all the people that listen to it around the world in Africa and Asia and Europe, Father, Lord God, and the States, Lord, and people I don't even know who listen to it, Father, Lord God. I just thank you for that opportunity, Father, and Lord, just thank you for the opportunity to have that thing called prayer, Father, Lord. Lord, that we can communicate with you, Father, Lord, and through that communication with you, Father, Lord, we can come into a place of communion, and Lord, we can know your thoughts, and we can know your ways, and we can know your wisdom, Father, Lord God. And we just thank you and we praise you for that. We pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.